spirit. And we know we are. But there's moments where we lack and we see a drop off there. We see where we're not led by the spirit anymore. But, you know, our job is to close that gap. We should close that gap. Because Jesus, think about this. Jesus was the perfect example. But yet we have excuses saying, well, Jesus don't, he wasn't faced with the decision we're faced with. He wasn't faced with the things that we're faced with. Well, let me ask you something. When's the last time you was faced with demonics? Think about it. When's the last time were you faced with somebody who was demonically possessed? I never was. On a level that Jesus was. I've seen him, I've been around him, I prayed for him, but never on a level like Jesus was. So how can we say that we or Jesus wasn't faced with the things that we're faced with today? Jesus was faced with a lot worse of things that we will ever be faced with. But yet he was still that perfect example. You know, I wasn't scheduled to speak tonight, but the Lord laid this on my heart whenever Sister Linda said what she said. Because we have our moments, right? We all have them, where we know we're led. I'm here, I went from here to here, and I know I was led by God. But then there's them cases where we go from here to here, and whenever we look back, we're like, how did I get here? How did I get here? And a lot of times we try to overthink things. We try to make it work. We try to make it fit. And whenever we do that, we already know the answer to that, right? Well, it's never going to fit. If we try and make it fit, it is never going to fit. But if we follow the instructions that God lays out for us and we're led by the Spirit, it always fits. Think about Jesus now. Every time Jesus did something, it fit. Every time. And that's incredible to me. And it challenges me. Because if he did it, I know that I can do it. Every time Jesus did something, it fit. He never lacked. He was in constant communion with the Father. Always. He was about his Father's business. That's what he said. He didn't say, I'm here to talk to this one, I'm here to talk to that one, I'm here to do this, I'm here to play that, I'm here to go here. He says, no. I'm here to do my Father's will, to do his business, the things that he has for us to do. Everybody in this room, God has something for you to do. He leaves no one out. My question is, why do we leave ourselves out? If God doesn't leave us out, somebody's leaving somebody out. And we know God's not doing it. So we're leaving ourselves out. And the way we do that is whenever we go from here to here and don't know how we got there, then it discourages us. And we don't want to be a part of nothing. Especially what's going on at the church. We don't want to be a part of that. But I'm here to tell you tonight, it doesn't have to be that way. Because God doesn't leave any one of us out. He has a specific plan and purpose for each one of us. Isn't that incredible? God doesn't leave anybody out. He wants everybody to be part of the family. And I'm thankful tonight that he allowed me to be part of the family. Because, look, I don't deserve it. No way I deserve it. In my eyes, I don't deserve it. But in his eyes, I do. In his eyes, we all deserve it. So, look. Don't leave yourself out. Don't cut yourself short. Don't stop at false finish lines. Because God's not done. He's not done. The time that we're going in, the season that we're going in, we need to be engaged in the things of God like never before. Need to be. It's a must. It's not an option. The options is over with. We done moved from options to a must. That's where he has us now. And I'm thankful he doesn't leave anybody out. But look, challenge yourself to close the gap. There's times where, look, we do good. We led. We know we led. And there's times it's like, man, I don't know how I let myself get where I'm at here. Right? Or am I the only one? So we have to close the gap. We want to be in constant communion with the Father. That way, whenever we face with the things we're going to be faced with in the near future, we know how to act, we know how to respond to it, because it's going to be very important. People's lives is going to be on the line, literally. And it's going to be our job to share the gospel with them like we've never done before. I ain't talking about the way we did before. It's going to be different this time. What we did before is not going to get us any further than what it got us. So we have to be ready, and we have to be in that constant communion with God. And look, it could be not only for other people will it mean life and death. It could be very well for us too. You know? So we have to be careful. We got to make sure that we're taking a word and applying it to our life. Constantly. You know, this has been my prayer whenever I pray. I want to be constant and consistent in the things of God. Constant and consistent. That's been my prayer. For the last 2 weeks, whenever I pray, I always put that in there because I want to be. You know, I want to please the Father. You know, but I know there's times where I let him down, often. But you know something? I want to close that gap. You know, I want my Father to be proud of me. You know, I want my natural Father to be proud of me. How much more should we want God, our Creator, to be proud of us? You know, our dads, they can give us gifts, and one day them gifts will fade away. But what our Heavenly Father is going to give us, it will never fade away, you know? And so that's one thing I try not to do is get caught up in material things. Because one day they're gone. They're history. But with God, we make history. We make it. Well, that's all I got, Pastor.
How's that? Okay, a couple things I want to point out. Brother Troy had mentioned something last time he talked. He spoke on something the Lord had shared with him. And when Herman was talking here, the Lord reminded me of it, on how there's something that, understand the timing of God is not going to wait. And people are going to be called. How many remember when you felt the drawing of the Lord? Do you think that like we're the only ones that's going to feel that? There's other people right now that they're feeling that. But the question is, what are they going to come to? Are we going to be ready to teach? Scripture says be apt to teach. Be ready to do that. Are we going to be ready to do that? And we can't be talking about yesteryears. He just mentioned that. It only gets us where we got. That's it. And we done been there. Who wants to go dig deeper to the bedrock? Who was ready for that? So to do that, it challenges even your theology. It challenges everything. Because and most of the time, that's what we're afraid of. If I like it. It's so comfortable. I've already learned this. It's easy. I can explain it. I don't want to go deeper. But we're required to learn that you may be able to comprehend with all things. What is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height? You understand it's more than just what we've known. But it doesn't mean that he's not getting rid of. Listen, that was the process. Faith to faith. Glory to glory. But we got to get to a spot that it demands us to be in. We have to get there. If we don't arrive at that particular place in our walk with God, and He expected that from us, you know, what's the consequence? Is it going to be us? Or maybe somebody else's life? We're challenged. It's a big challenge going on. So I asked the question this morning, is the world as we know it real? Is it real? You might want to put that thing in the question after just this morning. We just touched the surface. But I talked about the words of Jesus and what He said. He said, a wise man builds his house on the rock. Then the storms come and test it. And it says it stood because it was founded on the rock. So, and I explained to you, I hope you understand what I did this morning. I explained to you that Jesus, or Yeshua as we know Him, is the foundation. It's firm. But where did He get the idea from? He didn't make it up. If He's the express image of the Father, then where did He get that foundation blueprint? From the Father. Did I take you on that journey back to the foundation laying process of Yahweh? Absolutely. Then what are we supposed to do? Remember, it's not house to foundation. It's foundation to foundation. You got to have a foundation too. And so we look at Christ's foundation and we mimic it. We got a great example. We don't have to, listen, you say, I'm just trying to figure out how to build it. That's the problem. Quit trying to figure out how you build it. Just look at what He did. Just look at, it's right there. It's the example. Take the same, do the same thing. And then those two things come together. The other night I was watching this documentary of the largest oil platform put in the Gulf of Mexico. They did a story on it. They brought this big, huge piece out. And I forget all the day. But the thing that was so amazing is when the largest single leg. Let me rephrase that. The largest single leg. So they bring this out. And there this massive leg is. And it's suspended. And they shoot these cylinders out. And it anchors it. And there it is. And it's just sitting there. And they fill it with water. And there it is. It's just sitting there. It's kind of rocking in the sea. And then they bring this huge top. Now, on the top of this single leg is a foundation. And it's got little piers. And they take this massive, it's the largest crane lift recorded in history. And they grab this top. And they get it over. And all the engineers are there. And then they set it down. And they match it pin for pin. Now, when they built it, they weren't guessing. The guy who built the foundation had his measurements, and then he turned over his measurements to the one building the top so they would be a match set. Let me tell you, when Yeshua showed up, He had an incredible blueprint from the Father. He said, you can build it this way, but you don't have to. It's up to you. You can decide. Brother Herman just pointed out, he said, no, my meat, if you want to know what I feed on every day, if you want to know what excites me, It's not the stuff going out there. And I like being involved. I like activities. I like going out. I like all those things. But he said, that's not what excites me, is to do the will of the Father. It's to be about my Father's business. That's at 12. Anyway, that quote's at 12, just so you know. So if you think, well, I got to get older, you don't. Listen, we talk about our teenagers. If you really want to get involved, you can. At 12, he said, what I do is about my Father. That's a 12-year-old quote. So if you want a quote, there you go. That's a great quote. Because when he said that, that stuff's popping in my brain. It's like the fireworks going off. Because when I hear something, a scripture just pops up. And I understand. I said, wow, isn't that incredible? So that's what got Jesus. So he says, okay, I'll do it just like you said, Father. I don't have to guess. And you know, guessing, you lead me, I'm going to follow. And he laid out the foundation. And he said, a wise man builds on that foundation. So what do? We make sure it's a match set. A lot of people want to lay on like this. Don't want to change. You can't change me if you try. That's not going to be the attitude that's going to be successful in the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure it even gets there. You got to make sure it fits. And that's up to us. If you think God's going to come down and force you to build right, he's not going to do it. There may be circumstances and trials. I call them awakening moments, where he tries to wake us and shake us and get our attention. It's up to you to respond. You want a lot of those? Get that wandering spirit and you're going to get a lot of those things. Or if you want to stay focused on the things of God, there'll be less. And you'll be able to do the ministry that God called you to do. So we talked about, and the question is very clear. Is the world as we know it real? Is it real? It's a great question. And then we said we're going to discover our world through the Word of God. So there's two ways you look at this. Either you have a biblical worldview, or you have a scientific worldview. It's one of them. That's what you have. Who wants a biblical worldview? So we had some agreeing moments, right? One of our agreement moments was, and I don't know if you can find these. I'm going to spit them out on the slides, but they're in there. I guess I could just tell you. It'd be a helpful thing, so I'll pull it up myself. But we asked about agreeing on some things concerning this. And some of the things that I asked you about is, do you agree, in slide 16, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God? So how many scripture am I excluding from the text if I say all scripture? So I'm including them all. So I believe that God inspired regular men to put pen to paper as being led by his spirit. And let me ask this. Let me go a step further. I thought about it this morning. I didn't say it. Because we need to understand what inspire means. Because let me tell you, the battle is not just a one-sided battle. You know, listen, when you pursue truth, you're up against both sides. You're up against a scientific world system, and you're up against an embedded church system. You're up against both of them. So you got to decide if you're going to be a truth pursuer and join the revolution of a people that says, I want the truth. Remember that little clip we done one time? And I listened to that clip like 2-3 times this week. And they're there in the courtroom. You remember that? What is that guy's name? Tom Cruise, yeah. There he is. And what's the Jack? Yeah. Anyway, they're up there, and he's on the stand, and he's the lawyer. Tom Cruise is the lawyer. And he said, what do you want? He says, I want the truth. He said, you can't handle the truth. Did I do a good job? Oh, boy. I can watch it over and over. I like that part. You can't handle the truth. The thing is can we? Are we willing to take that, say, Lord, I'd rather the truth no matter what. If I got to change me, that's good. I'm good with that because I want the truth. I don't want to find out at the end of the day I missed something. So So in talking about inspiration, do you believe that that inspiration was given knowledge to that was not previously known? Do you believe that is included in, let me say that again so you're clear, so you answer it. So a man is there and he's writing because he's using a language that he's familiar with. Right? So let's look at Moses. Moses has a language he's familiar with. He has a culture that he's familiar with. So he's writing. Now, when he's writing by inspiration of God, I believe if it's inspired by God, he would never cross the path and let his culture override what the inspired word was from God. He won't let it. He won't say, well, maybe God means this, and I'll just use that. I don't think so, because I'm going to have that side. I'm going to give you that by the well-educated who read the Scripture and says, as far as I can tell, if you just read the Scripture and you take it what it says, this is what our worldview should be. And then at the end, they say, but I don't believe it. And so the question is, all right, type in, you know, you respond, why? Because culturally, they were speaking with inspiration. So, all Scripture is not given by inspiration of God? Well, I'm not saying that, but sort of like that. Then what are you saying? You see, so I'm going to leave it right there because I don't want to hurt neither side. Truth is going to stir up both sides. Did Jesus, you want like an example? What did he do? He kind of popped up and goes, okay. You know, you want the truth? You can't handle the truth. But he told them. And what happened? Both sides got them all stirred up. The Romans didn't want him, and the Jews didn't want him. See what I'm talking about? Or we can find a nice little quaint spot and say, you know what? Long as we're saved. I'm all for saved. You're never going to find me going against that. I'm all for being saved. But what if you were required in your generation to be what God wanted you to be and you failed to do that? Is that something God will excuse? Think about it. I'm required? Listen, what if in our time we're required to put on the armor of the Lord and get ready for a battle, but we didn't show up? You know, he's talking about dealing with demonic influence. Who here right now, you know the authority of the Word of God, so you can deal with that. You can't do it on your own. Right? So we have to have that understanding. So keep that in mind. What about this verse right here? We talked about Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things. If he says prove all things, what does he mean? Does he mean some things? No, he means all things. You got to prove all things. So, how many know that I never gave you like documented things? I can bring documentation, but let's just throw it out there because I don't have that with me. Evolution. Is it true or is it false? Evolution. Right? You pick a side. You can pick. It don't matter. It's not like you're not going to get thrown out or anything. You just pick a side wherever you are. I don't know where you are in this. So evolution is either true or false, right? I'm going to go with it's false. And I believe scientifically it's been proven to be false. Okay? But that's not why I believe that it's false. I believe it's false because the Bible says it's false. That was the first thing. That's the foundation I'm on. Now, I feel sorry for them that their own scientific idea succumbed to their own scientific idea. It just did. But that's not why I'm against it adamantly. I'm against it because the Bible says something different. See my point? That's foundation to foundation. Who can here imagine Jesus going around endorsing evolution? I've studied all the words of Jesus. I've never heard him endorse evolution, not a single time.
That's a problem for me as a follower of Christ, who I believe is my rabbi. Why would I think, well, you know, this is believers. I'm going to give you believers quotes, okay? Well, you know, we got to be open to these things. Really? So what else are we open to? Listen, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. You got to stand for something. And so we as believers ought to stand for what we believe is the truth and go down with it. You got to be the firm believer in it. Look, some people want to be, well, I'm for it, but I don't know. And you can't do that. Listen, if you believe, this is what he said. He said this. Elijah comes out and he says, listen, if it's God, it's Elohim, the one Elohim that we're talking about, then let's serve him. But if it's Baal, let's serve him. Right? And so that's what we see happen. I think it's the decision time. So let's continue where we left off. I'll back up some. And I was going to read that Leviticus. Remember that Leviticus? How many got that part on the 390? Go back and look at that. Those numbers were out there. Several different scholars had put those numbers. I didn't put those numbers together. But I was researching it, looking at it. How did this thing come? How did we get in this? But I was hearing quite a few people who has come out and believe that they have these things broke. Now they're feast keepers. I mean, they're really trying. I mean, they're breaking out from the norm and saying, you know what? And I'm hearing these comments. I'm saying, okay, well, I want to research it. So I spend some time looking at it. And you do the same thing. But 390 years times 7, and then we have that number. What is 20? What it was? 2730? Was that it? 2730? Something like that, okay. And then we do the math, and we somewhere around 2009, 2010, we have a breakthrough. And that's the time that we're starting to see this major breakthrough. Now, there are forerunners. There were people that's been doing this for a decade. They would have been in it. But that's forerunners. John was a forerunner. Jesus is a forerunner. We have forerunner examples in Scripture. We see this, I think, as something that ought to pull us into Scripture and realize that Almighty God knows about everything we're going through. He knows everything, every detail of our life. And so I want you to just keep that in mind with that. So I went ahead and connected the same thing I've been talking about, the foundation and so forth, with that. And then I started reading to you from the book of Job. Why did I start with Job? I explained to you this morning. Job is the oldest book in the Bible. It was written before Genesis. So I understand the canon, and I understand why it's laid out that way, and it makes a lot of sense to have it that way. So you have to understand it's not laid out in a chronological order when it comes to the book of Job. So I read to you those verses in the book of Job. And now, again, everything that I'm reading to you, let me give you that subtitle, Scriptures, right? Scriptures concerning the nature of heaven. The nature of heaven. Shamayim. Remember that. Shamayim is the word, the Hebrew word for heaven. So you got to keep that in mind. And listen, I'm going to come back and visit all those words and break them down in detail. But right now I'm reading Scripture. I'm just giving you Scripture out there. So I read to you Job and got to day one. Got to day two. How many were still with me with that? Some people told me they were sleeping by the time I got to day two. But that's okay. I always repeat myself. Glory to God. I'm perfectly fine with that. They were tired. I understand that. I went a little long. I think I went 30 minutes extra today. Something like that. I believe it was like 30 minutes when I got my truck. Sometime we need a little extra. But tonight I promise I won't go extra. Right? Okay, so day two, let me start with day one, and then I'll go a bit through it, because it's just a couple verses, all right? Day one, Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, the Shamayim. So remember that. The earth was without form and void, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. So I want you to think about what is actually there. First thing, what we think of when we're reading this, we already read into the verse of Scripture because we know what we know. I mean, you know, we have a history of information. When we read this for the first time, we think in terms of what we have already pre-pictured in our mind. That's not how you study Scripture. You do that, you're going to get led down different trails, and it's hard to get back, and you don't want to do that. So he says what he does, and he's going to give us the details of how he did it. Does that make sense? He's going to give us the details. So he said, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Remember, I gave you that part where there's a spot where God had to decide that he wouldn't be? Remember that? He had to make a decision. There's got to be a place that he wouldn't be, because a lot of people said, well, if God's all light, where did evil come from? Right? So, when there's a rebellion, and there's got to be a place for them. And if God knows everything, you think maybe he knew there'd be a rebellion? So he says, I'm going to have a spot for them, and that's a spot I won't be. Now, it doesn't mean he can't go there at any time and take control of it, because he can. But he removes himself from that spot, comes darkness, and then he inserts light, and then it becomes outer darkness. How many of you ever heard that term in the Scripture? Right? Outer darkness. So there's a realm. Very important. Keep that in mind when you're studying the Scripture. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Now, how many know that? I'm reading to you. What he done? He divides the light from the darkness. And then he says, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning was the first day. All right? So picture that. What can you imagine? Can you imagine what's going on at this particular time? Stuff's just moving and shaking, and he divides that. Now, what divides day and night right now? What is one thing that we have? If you got the Job account, you know what I'm talking about. I read that. I didn't have time to read them tonight. But what divides the day and the night? The horizon, right? So can you see past the horizon or your point of view? No. No, nor can the other ones. And it continues to go on. There's a limit. Do you notice, I know sometimes we don't want to think about these things, but our view of how everything exists has to match the Scripture. If not, then the Scripture is not going to make sense to us when we start trying to teach it to others. You ever wondered about the continents? And how there's water surrounding all the continents? You ever wondered about that? Oh boy, I'm going to get into some things. I promise I won't get into too much tonight. But we got to answer that. I submitted to you and I told you that God's the one that put the waters that way. Because your point of view is limited on the continent. Now you can get on a boat, but sailing into these waters that are purposefully treacherous, that no man can go for a long period of time, is a design. Because God uses the horizon to end night and day. Get your head going like this, because I'm going to bring up some stuff to really get you thinking so we can be ready for next week. Day two. Yeah, oh boy, I'm going to be hurting. We got to leave early. I tell you, I might cut a deal with everybody. We're going to see. We're going to measure where you are. Like, we're going to have early service. We're going to have extra early. Huh? Glory. Sometimes I feel like I'm preaching to myself. I might be. And God said, let there be a firmament. Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, right? Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. So he's going to divide water from water. So right now we got water, and he's going to insert a firmament in the midst of the waters, and he's going to divide those two waters now. We had one water, now it's a firmament inserted in the middle, now he divides the two. So there's a lot of water. They're going to need that water. Now, we don't know what he needs it for, because we know if we read the rest of the book. But he knows what he needs it for. Right? Because he's going to get it right where he wants it if people be obedient to him. And so, God made the firmaments and divided the waters which were under the firmaments from the waters which were above the firmaments. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. Shamayim, same thing. So he called it something. Now, it's in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Now he's telling us what he even named it. So what is the name of heaven? What is the name of heaven? What's another word for it that's synonymous? Firmament. Firmament. The firmament he called heaven. Glory to God. We learning something. In the evening and the morning were the second day. And then Genesis 7:11. In 600 years, Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day where all the fountains of the great deep broke up and the windows of heaven were open. So we got waters under the earth. Oh boy, I'm getting dizzy now. Right? Because we got waters under the earth and we got waters above the heaven. Above it. And then they got windows in that firmament that have to be opened by God to let water through. That's how we got the flood. Are y'all here? Not just rain. Because of all that, the atmosphere changed. It created thunderstorms and clouds and lightning and all that stuff. But the rain itself did not flood the earth. What flooded the earth is God. Open the window and let the water above the firmaments in. And he let it in. Means he keeps it out. And he said, I won't ever do that again. Because I'm God. He let it from underneath. Let me see that. So keep that in mind because we're just reading scripture. All right. The next one. Genesis 8:2. And the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped. And the rain from heaven was restrained. Can he start it? Can he stop it? Of course he can. He's God, right? So I want you to understand that. He can start it and stop it. And it still exists like that today. And we'll get to that. There's a verse that I got to read to you that I'll talk about. In 2 Samuel 22:8. Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundation of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. Does heaven have a foundation? As it says, heaven has a foundation. So it's resting on something. Heaven is resting on something. Keep that in mind. All right, the next one. Psalms 19:1. Heaven declares the glory of God, and the firmament, which is heaven, showeth his handiwork. Psalms 29:10. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. Where he sits? Get a picture? According to the worldview, he's somewhere out there. The biblical view tells us exactly where he's at. That'll get you where you get a whole lot more understanding about who God is. He's not somewhere out there. We know exactly where he is if we take the biblical worldview. He sits upon the flood. So I want you to get the picture. I'm about to the clearest picture I can give you from what I found. And this is not exhaustive. Believe me, there's a lot more verses. Psalm 78:21. Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Who didn't believe that? Who's the anger was kindled against? Jacob. Come on now. You think we struggling? These people been struggling for a while. The devil's a liar. He'll sell you anything if you buy him. If you buy him, he'll sell you anything. We're talking about the hand-picked Jacob. But watch what happens. A little reminder. Though he had commanded the clouds from above, and he opens the doors of heaven. Who does that? Yahweh. He commands clouds and he opens doors from heaven. And had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them the corn of heaven. Therefore, the statement, man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. God's got stuff. It's amazing. Who did that? God did. I'm just reading. Psalms 104, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who covers thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain. So he's telling us how he did it, and he says what it's like. So he stretches out the heavens like a curtain. So if he's talking about the firmament, right? He stretches out the firmament like a curtain. There's more. Who lays the beams of his chamber in the waters. He laid the beam of his chambers in the waters. Keep that in mind. Who maketh the clouds and his chariots, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. Wow. Psalms 148:4. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. This is post-flood. Oh, boy. Now, I read about the flood, and he pulled the plug and filled, covered the earth, right? And you said, well, man, all that water is gone. No, this is post-flood. Post-flood, I'm going to read it again. This is Psalms 148:4. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heaven. Above the firmaments. Right now, there's waters above the firmament. Right now. You ever wondered why? Waters above the firmament. Think about it. Waters above the firmaments. I want you to think about that and keep that in mind as we go. These little things. Everything that you see highlighted, keep that in. Try to keep that as a train of thought as we go through the verses. Proverbs 8:27. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. Talking about wisdom. He set, and I won't go these Hebrew words. I put them in there. I'm going to come back and deal with them later. Because that's the word set for set. I really need to talk about that. He set a compass, and I gave you that one this morning, upon the face of the deep. He set a compass upon the face of the deep. So what do we start with? In the beginning, God creates heaven and earth. Then he tells us how. The earth was without form and void, darkness upon the face of the deep. So we start with water. It's all the ingredients is there, but it's not in place. Let there be light, and there was light. Now, do we have the appearance of dry land yet? You know, you see, we got to get there. You understand what I'm saying? We still hadn't even got there yet. We're going to get there, but I'm showing you that these are critical things for us to understand. Wisdom says, he set a compass upon the face of the deep. On the depths, he set a compass. And so keep that in mind. We're going to deal with that word. Chuck, we looked at it, it's a circuit, it's a circle. So can you imagine? God looks down and he puts a circle or perimeter because he's got to separate light and day. And so he makes something that holds the waters in. Everything has to be held in. And God's got a design for that. We'll let the scripture tell us what is he talking about. Because we want to know, don't we? Proverbs 8:27, and he established the heavens, and I was there when he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep. He inscribed the circle. That's powerful words there. He inscribed a circle. To inscribe something, is that something that's visible? Because some people want to say, well, that's make-believe. He kind of just said like that, and it really, it's all figurative language. No, he inscribed a circle. There's a parameter. There's a distance. Now, all these distances are important to God. He knew exactly how far it was going to go, where it was going to stop. He inscribed a circle, and keep that in mind, on the face of the deep. On the face of the deep. All this is going to, I know some of this may not mean something to you. I can say one thing and all this stuff is going to make sense to you, but I have to wait till the Lord tells me about saying it because it's later on in this. And I'm going to show you, matter of fact, I'm going to show you a graph. Isaiah 13:13. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. So until then, what's happening with the earth? It's fixed. It's fixed. And it's not moving. Because it's reserved for the fierce anger of God. Keep that in mind. I don't care what scientists say. You know, that's another whole other lesson. Isaiah 40:22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Who wants to take a shot at that word, circle? It's he, talking about Yahweh, that sits upon the circle of the earth. Now, I'm just telling you. His throne, okay? Think about this. We have a firmament. You go outside, we can go outside. I don't know if it's dark yet. But you go outside and you look up. How many ever wondered when you look up on a clear day that the sky is always what? Blue. Imagine that. Imagine that. Okay? What's holding the waters from falling on us? They're up there. A firmament. It's hard. But you can see through it. I read it to you this morning in Job. He said it's like a clear ceiling. And the Lord sits on top of that. That's where the throne is. So if you think God's millions and millions and millions of miles away, you need to think again. He's not going to go through this creation process and float off on some distant planet and wait for us to kill each other. He's going to look at his masterpiece and he's going to guide us with his love and care and his tender mercy. And he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's right there to the end. That's what I'm going with. Because I love him. Every verse I read, I fall more in love with him. And I start thinking about how good God is. And I think about how much nonsense I've ever had in my life. I want to keep reading and understanding. He's right there. He's looking at us. So he's seated there. And I give you, again, giving you this verse of scripture. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. He sits on the circle of the earth. And the inhabitants thereof are like grasshoppers that stretcheth out there. Is he that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain. This is all great verses here. He stretches out the heavens. How does it look? He says, I want you to think it's like a tent. And I tell you, I can't wait till I get in the tabernacle tent and start explaining to you. We could have been wrong by its design calculations. It may look a whole lot different by the time we're done. He spreadeth them out like a tent to dwell in. I'm just saying what he says. You say, where you get it to be a tent? It's a tent. I just finished reading it. He spreads the heavens out like a curtain, like a tent to dwell in. We, right now, have a canopy or a tent over us holding the waters from coming in. They ain't telling you that in the textbooks. You either got a scientific worldview of where you live or you got a biblical worldview. It's one of them. And when you study, you read with that already preconceived idea. No matter how sharp you think you are, you're going to study with that notion. Because it's right with you. You're carrying it with you into the scripture. Got to be careful with that because you can't get anything more from God when you've already learned that. Listen, when you come to the spot where you know that, you're not learning anything else. You got to approach the throne room of God as I'm empty, Lord. I need to know. I want truth. Fill me. And that's what he'll do. So right now, this is the biblical worldview. Right now on earth, we have a canopy, a curtain, like a tent covering us. It's called the firmament. And it stops the waters from coming in. And there's waters underneath. He separated the waters by what? A firmament. Now, we ain't got to seas yet. Right? We still hadn't got to the seas. We're just dealing with the waters of the waters. There's a lot of water. God's got to be a fisherman. I mean, we're just all around waters. I mean, it's water, water, water. I love him even more. Right? I'm not a dry land person. I like water. Right? I love him. Every time I think about him, I love him even more. Isaiah 40:22, and I'm giving it to you in different translations, okay? So you'll see it, the ISV, International Standard Version. He is the one who sits above the disk of the earth. Wow. What is that? And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. He is the one who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain and spread them like a tent to live in. You ever thought about that verse? Those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You ever thought of that? Now, you don't know you there unless you acknowledge it. A lot of people in it, but they won't give God the credit. I'm going to give him the credit. Thank you, Lord, for my covering. Let me tell you, since I've been in this study, I'm telling you, I have weeping moment after weeping moment. Just riding in my boat in the morning, I go, wow, what a can, what a tent, what a canopy. And you right there sitting on it. Thank you, Father. You're going to have some weeping moments. You ain't going to be able to help it. Because he's that amazing. You ever wondered about these things? No, we depend on somebody else. Some scientists tell us what it is. You ever thought about their motives? Credit from God. Take all God's credit. We can do what he does. We can build our kingdom above his kingdom. They know he's there. They know this. If you think they're oblivious to this, the problem is the church don't know it because nobody's... You understand what I'm saying? They know it. And that's why you see things hidden in plain sight. That's why. It's throwing it in your face and then they laugh at you and say, you talk about dummies. They going around falling out in the spirit, shouting key to Mahonda, and they don't even know what their own God gave them. They're a bunch of dummies. We can just manipulate them however we want. We make them fight amongst themselves. We make them think this and that and look at them. Is that what y'all want to be known as? Or do we really want to be the redeemed of the Lord and we know the truth and it sets us free? That's what I want. I'm so glad we've reached that time where the curse got to come off. The year, time's up. It's time for the redeemed to step up and be the army of the living God. Isaiah 44:24. Thus says the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am Yahweh that maketh all things. That's clear to me. That stretches forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Clear. Right? He made the curtain and he spreadeth the earth. He spreadeth the earth. How many know the earth needed some spreading? If you think that things lay the way they lay because of some accident, think again. That's purposefully done by design, and the currents in the water and all that is by design by the Lord. It's all by design. And the scientists tell you something else, but they're all lies, a bunch of liars. Isaiah 45:12. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. All the hosts I command. Everything out there, he commands. And we're going to get to that. Maybe not tonight. We've got so many verses. I told you I had 400 and something verses just to start with to read this morning.
So I'm trying to cover some of these. Isaiah 48:13. My hand hath also laid the foundations of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. Oh my. Do you understand? What about us? Who we think we are? When he commands the host, they all stand together. And sometimes we can't even feel an urgency to pray or to read our Bible or to go to church. Yet he commands the host and they stand up together because they know who God is. I submit to you, we got a long way to go to figure out who the Most High is. We call him that. But man, do we respect him for being the one looking down on us? He sits on the firmament. He sits there. Wow. Let me just thank you, Lord. I wasn't going here. I don't even have it on the slide, but the Lord brought it to my attention. Let me mention to you. And I'll do the best I can without the slide. I'll bring it back later and I'll show you in detail. The firmament is something that is as hard as metal and is beaten into place, yet it's clear. And you'll see all that in detail. Do a Strong's study on it and go down into the original Hebrew. It's absolutely amazing. It's hard. The only thing can come in is if God opens the window. And the only thing can get out is if God lets him out. But our society and our scientists and all the elite say, we can go out when we want. I'm going to show you in history all the events that happened, and you say, why are they doing that? You ever wondered why they would do the crazy things they do around the world? And it's like you're trying to figure out, what is that, stupid? They're not being stupid. They're serious about trying to figure out an escape. But there's only, listen, you don't have to worry about getting out. Let me give you a secret. He's coming in. Did everybody hear that secret? He's coming in. What a day that'll be. Glory to God. Whew. Ezekiel 1:26. And above the firmaments that was over their heads, where's the firmament? Over there, was the likeness of a throne. Where's that? Above the firmaments, over their heads, was the likeness of a throne. As the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man upon it. This is Ezekiel. Amos, this is one. Wow. I'm going to give it to you in a few translations. Amos 9:6. It is he that buildeth the stories in the heavens and had founded his troop in the earth. He that calleth for the waters of the seas and poured them out upon the face of the earth, Yahweh is his name. It's he. Look at this next translation, the ASV, American Standard Version. It is he that buildeth his chamber in the heavens and hath founded his vault upon the earth. There's a vault upon the earth? I want to go see it. You understand my point? I mean, if there's a, he's founded his vault upon the earth. Wow. He calleth for the waters of the seas, poured them out upon the face of the earth. Jehovah is his name. And again, this is just other translations. You can, I don't know, you wherever you are, I'm not a sacred name person. I'm good with Yahweh. Some got Yahuwah and all, and Jehovah, whatever. As long as we have to understand, because really nobody technically really knows, because we were left. We don't have the full spelling of it. And we were left with that. Best we can tell.
And so Yahweh, we settled on that, and we're familiar with it. At least before, he was just Lord. We didn't give him any name, but we got him one. Amen? ESV, English Standard Version. It is he that buildeth his chamber in the heavens and had founded his vault upon the earth. He called for the waters of the sea, poured them out on the face of the earth, and the Lord is his name, or Yahweh is his name. The next one, the Darby's version. It is he that buildeth his upper chambers in the heavens and had founded his vault upon the earth. So you see there's a consistency with this interpretation. And do your word study on it. I have, I'm telling you, this is what you're going to derive at. Maybe these are just symbols. They're no symbols. This is what he did. He's telling us what he did. If he says this what this, and this is what this means, that'd be clear. He does that in Revelations. He talks about this, and he said this is what this means. Or he said this is a parable, and then we know. But right here, he's speaking directly. The NSAB. This is the one we read from all the time. The one who builds his upper chambers in the heavens has founded his vaulted dome over the earth. I read that one last, because if I'd have started with that, that's our regular reading. I just figured I'd give you this one last, right? He founded his vaulted dome over the earth. How is that possible? Look in this building. This is the dome. And what part do you put that on the earth? Where you start and where you finish. Just ask it. Think about it. So, next time I'm going to give you scripture concerning the nature of the earth below the firmament. And that's when we're going to get into how he did the earth. Below the firmament. Okay. Now, with that in mind, I'm going to leave you with a few things to think about. I ended this morning pretty rough on the Masons. Now, there's no intent for me to hurt anybody. But it is what it is. I'm not going to sit around and give some credit to all the junk that's been going on around the world. It's been going on, it's still going on, and it will continue to go on. They're not going to change. Because their agenda is not against the people of God. It's against God. That's the battle. The people of God are going to get caught in the crossfire, but it's against God. And God knows it. And he ain't backing down. God ain't backing down. So I want to tell you, we have to wake up. We have been lulled to sleep from a scientific worldview. And we haven't read those. It's been a long time since you read those verses of Scripture all at the same time. But may I ask it this way? How many never did? You see my point? All at the same time. You do the word study. You find everything dealing with firmament, heaven, and you pull all that in one.